for Parshas Metzora. Will Amirza Hashem have 6 Divrei Torah? Parshas Metzora is a continuation of Parshas Tazria, talking about Tzara'as, which is a physical manifestation of a spiritual disease. Chazal tell us that it comes from a number of sins, including arrogance, speaking motzi shemra, lashon hara, about other people, and the like. We are going to start all the way at the beginning of the parsha. The pasuk says as follows: Perek Yudalet pasuk Bezos Tihiyat Torah Sametzora. This is the Torah of the Metzora. Biyom Taharasav Uvala Kohen. On the day that he becomes tahor, on the day of his purification, he shall be brought to the Kohen. The Alshech says something that is so instructive of what Tzara says. He says there is a significant difference between when somebody has a physical illness, a physical disease on the one hand, and when somebody has a spiritual sickness on the other, like Tzara's. And he says as follows: when it comes to a physical disease, how do you take care of it? Hopefully, you go to the doctor. You go to an expert doctor in order to assist in the refuah shalema. That is not up to the individual who has the disease to have the refuah shalema, but you actually have to go to the doctor, and the doctor is going to do an analysis, is going to give medication, and whatever the process and procedure is in order to have a refuah shalema. That is when it comes to a physical sickness. On the other hand, when it comes to a spiritual disease, it's not up to a quote-unquote doctor here, the Kohen, to make a decision. I'm going to fix it, I'm not going to fix it. I have the medicine, I don't have the medicine. That is not the concept here. It is up to the person who has the spiritual disease. He has a spiritual disease for a reason, because he has sinned, and in order to get rid of the spiritual disease, to get rid of the tzara'as, he has to do a cheshbon nefesh. He has to improve himself. He has to improve his deeds, and he has to stop committing the sin that is brought upon himself, the tzara'as. Tzara'as comes because, as Chazal tell us, because of lashon hara, other averus, and it will not go away until the person does a cheshbon nefesh, and he does tshuva, and he does repentance. And accordingly, the purpose of the Kohen is not to be the doctor, the spiritual doctor, but rather it's up to the individual, again, to make a cheshbon nefesh, to do tshuva, and only afterward does the purpose, does the need of the Kohen come in to give testimony, to confirm that the tzara'as, that the spiritual disease, has passed. And accordingly, when we look at our pasuk, it will tell us that. It says as follows: Zos tihyeh toras hametzorah. This is the Torah of the Metzorah, talking about the person who has tzara'as. Biyom taharaso, on the day that he has a purification, on the day that he has a tahara, and only then after the tahara, which is up to the individual, which is up to the sinner, he has to do tshuva, only thereafterward that he has purified himself. Only thereafterward does it say Vahuva Ela Kohen. At that point he is brought to the Kohen, not to purify him because the purification already happened, but rather the Kohen is there to confirm the purification. And that's why the pasuk is in that order, Biyom Tahara. So the day of Tahara happened, that day of purification, that's up to the Metzora, and only thereafterward, Behuva El HaKohen, he's brought to the Kohen to confirm that the spiritual disease has passed. And in effect, we can use that as a binyanav, as a lesson when it comes to all korbanas and all processes and procedures of becoming pure, that they will not be effective until the person who needs purification, who needs tshuva, does tshuva first, removes the spiritual disease. And as it says in Mishle, Perek Chavalef, Zevach Rishayim To'eva, the korbanos of a rasha, somebody who's evil, is a to'eva, is an abomination. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want korbanos from somebody who is still a rasha. It's only after the person is no longer a rasha that that korban is going to be desired and effective. Continuing, Dvar Torah number 2, on the same pasuk, Rabbeinu Yosef Chaim brings a mashal as follows. He said there was a merchant, successful merchant. He went to shul, he's davening shachris, and he decided, I'm going to stay afterward, I'm going to go to the shir after davening. So there, he's out for a few hours in shul, davening, shir, and he comes home eventually, and he hears that there was somebody who had wanted to do a big deal with him. Somebody had come and wanted to purchase some goods, and because the merchant was not home, the potential purchaser went to the competitor. The competitor was home and he went and he bought what he needed. And our merchant, who was in shul, he lost the deal. And when he heard about this from his wife, he tells his wife, "Oy, gewalt, I want the deal. Please, in the future, when somebody comes searching for me, send somebody to get me to come home from shul. I don't want to lose deals." Beseder, the wife said, "As you desire." The next day, somebody came looking for her husband, and he's at shul. So she sends a shaliach, she sends somebody to bring him home. Somebody's waiting for him, somebody's looking for him. He comes home, and it is the tax collector knocking on the door. The tax collector was there to collect the unpaid taxes. And now, the merchant says to his wife, "You are very talented at reversing what you should be doing. When you need to call me, when you needed to call me, you didn't call me. And now that you shouldn't have called me, because it's a tax collector, you called me." And says Rav Yosef Chaim as follows. This is the mashal, this is the nimshal now. The same applies to us with our koach hadibur, our use of speech. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us speech in order to learn Torah, in order to do positive things, to speak properly, to give people support and encouragement, and to avoid negative speech, to not speak Lashon Hara. And what do? We reverse what we should be doing. And unfortunately, with our Koach HaDibur, we use it for Lashon Hara and Motzi Shemra. And accordingly, that's when Negayim, that's when the Tzaras comes upon us. And we have to do again a cheshbon nefesh and decide that we have to speak only properly and to avoid negative speech, to avoid prohibited speech. But that is not enough. That is not enough. What we really need to do, as it says in the pasuk, "Biyom tarasov v'huva l'koin." Even though we've made the decision, we're not going to speak negatively anymore, but we have to be brought to the Kohen. What is that going to help? Because the Torah Kohen is going to teach us Torah. He's going to teach us Yira. So we may decide we're not going to do negative. We're going to try, but we really need to be educated by the Kohen. As it says in the pasuk, "Sif Sei Kohen Yishmu Das." It will be the lips of the Kohen that will guard knowledge, Vitori V'yavakshu Mipiu, and we will desire, we will ask Torah from the lips of the Kohen, from the Kohen himself. So that's the process. Obviously, we need to make the decision, but it's not enough. We need to go to the Kohen in order to educate us to speak and act properly. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3 on the same pasuk. The Sif Sei Kohen says as follows, fascinating, that the Kohen would actually go out to the Metzorah. The Metzorah was sent out. The Metzorah, somebody who's speaking negatively, pejoratively about people, you can't be around people. And part of the punishment of the Metzora is he has to be sent out of the camp. You can't be around people because you don't know how to treat people. But it happens to be that the Kohen would go out of the camp in order to see the Metzora. So on the one hand, we're punishing him with the Metzora. Then he has to be brought to the Kohen. But the Kohen is also going out to greet him. The Kohen is also going out to him. And says the Sif Sei Kohen, which is going to sound a little bizarre, we are giving kavod, we are giving respect, showing respect to the Metzora. How is that possible? So he says as follows, when you send that Metzora michutz lamachane, out of the camp, we are being mevaza, we are disgracing him in public. We are showing that he did not act properly, he acted terribly, and accordingly we send him out. We want to disgrace him. He cannot be around people. But having said that, it cannot be that we fully disregard him, that we fully cancel him. Nowadays they talk about the cancel culture. Somebody does something wrong, you totally cancel that person. He is as if he doesn't exist. You are done. We will have nothing to do with you. That is not the case with the Metzora. Yes, we acknowledge you did something terrible. We want to punish you. But on the other hand, we are not canceling you. We want to also uplift you a little bit. We're sending you out. But the Kohen is going to go out and is also going to show you kavod. Such a fascinating concept. And it's this very important lesson that we have this Metzora. He is being punished either because of arrogance or because he spoke Lashon Hara or one of the other sins that Chazal enumerate. However, having said that, when we punish him, we don't want it to be a total cancellation, but rather Chazal tell us, Le'olam tehei smol docha v'yamin mikarevis. We should have the left hand, the weaker hand, push away somebody, but the right hand should bring him closer. And accordingly, despite the fact that that mitzvah is being sent out, we also want to show him some kavod. In fact, a couple of examples brought with the Sifsei Kohen that really illustrate this issue. When we had Miriam Hanaviah, Parshas Baloscha, she spoke Lashon Hara about her great brother Moshe Rabbeinu, and she was punished with her own saras. And Klal Yisrael was ready to travel, but she couldn't travel. She was sent out. She was saras. They couldn't leave. Well, they could have left. They could have left without her. But as the pasuk says, "Va'am lo nasa ad yasef Miriam," Klal Yisrael did not leave until she had her refuah shalema. So on the one hand, she's being punished. She had saras. She spoke lashon hara about her dear brother Moshe Rabbeinu. But on the other hand, Klal Yisrael waited for her. The Amud Anan waited for her. The Shechina waited for her to show her kavod. So there's the same concept. Even when somebody is being punished, somebody is down and out, don't cancel that person totally. We still have to uplift that individual and show kavod. And similarly, but a little bit more complicated, at the time of David HaMelech, there was a famine in the land that lasted 3 years. And David HaMelech, he asked Urim Yatumim, what is going on? Why is there a famine going on? And it was because Shaul HaMelech, his predecessor, had wiped out Nov Ir HaKohanim, this city called Nov, that all the Kohanim existed there. And also the Giv'onim, he had tried to wipe. He went to war against the Giv'onim. There had been a promise that by Yeshua that we're not going to wipe out the Giv'onim. They were accepted. It was a whole mice in Sefer Yeshua that they defrauded. They made false claims that they're from a distant land and let's enter into peace treaty. And Yeshua entered into a peace treaty with him. And Shaul didn't like that. Shaul tried to wipe them out unsuccessfully. And here we have a famine because of actions that Shaul did. David HaMelech asked to Urim V'Tumim, he says, what happened? Why are we being punished with this famine? And the Urim V'Tumim, this is in Shmuel Beis, Perek Chafal of Pasuk Aleph, it says, El Shaul, the El Beis Hadamim. An interesting response from the Urim V'Tumim, says, because of Shaul, effectively, there are two statements here, because of Shaul and also because the house of the blood. What is going on here? So the Gemara explains as follows, because of Shaul, we have a famine in the land because Shaul was not given a proper hesped. He wasn't given a proper eulogy. That's not against Shaul. That's Shaul. We need to show him respect, and he wasn't given respect. But what is the second statement? El Beis Hadamim. This punishment is because Shaul killed the Givonim, and he should not have done it. And the Gemara explains that specifically here where we are calling Shaul out, that we're having a famine throughout Klal Yisrael for 3 years because of actions that Shaul did, that he went to war against the Givonim when he wasn't supposed to. But at that same point, that we could say, Shaul, we're canceling you. Don't do that. Remember, there's something very positive about Shaul, and we have to give him respect also through a proper hesped. And when Shaul was killed, there was not a proper hesped. So that's the same concept. These two examples about Miriam, even when she's being punished, we have to show respect. Even when Shaul is causing a punishment, we have to show respect. And that's what's going on, getting back to of our Mitzora, that despite the fact that he was sent out, but the coin is going out to greet him and show him kavod, because despite the fact that someone sins, we don't cancel them totally, we also have to uplift them and show them respect. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4 as follows, as part of the purification process of the Mitzorah. In Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Dalid, it says there were certain ingredients that were necessary as part of the purification process. And it says, what were they? Eitz Eretz, which is a cedar wood tree, cedar wood, very high tree, and also Shni Tolas, which is crimson thread, Ve'ezov, and hyssop. And Rashi explains why these three, what's going on here. So The cedar wood, that represents something that's very high, something that's very exalted. And it's a remez to the sins of the mitzora that the person acted in arrogance and gaiva. And accordingly, that's why it's part of the portion, part of the ingredients, the cedar wood representing the sin. But also, what's the takana? How are we going to fix this arrogance? Yashpil atzmo. He has to make himself lowly. He has to make himself modest. He has to make him lowly like the crimson thread and the hyssop. So on the one hand, we have the cedar wood representing the arrogant sin. That's making himself very haughty, very high. And what he has to do to fix it is to make himself very lowly like the crimson thread and the hyssop. And the Rav Maskil of David asked the following questions. Okay, we understand cedar wood, very high, but why do we need two additional ingredients to represent that he has to make himself lowly? Use just one, crimson thread or hyssop. Why do we need two versus one? One, the cedar wood, the height, the gaiva, and two, in order to make himself very lowly. And the Maskil of David says as follows, when it comes to anava, we have to go to an extreme. When it comes to lowliness, humility, we have to go to extreme. It's not just to counteract gaiva a little bit. We have to go so far away from any arrogance to the extreme. And accordingly, that's why gaiva is one, but we have to get so far away from it that we need two ingredients versus that one ingredient. And in fact, that is what Rav Avadya Mitar Tanura says on the Mishnah, Me'od, Me'od. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Avos Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet. It says, Me'od, Me'od, Hevi Shval Ruach. You have to be in extreme, very, very much. Me'od, it says twice, Me'od, Me'od, very much that we have to be very lowly and we have to have humility. That is what it is saying, that it has to be to the extreme. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number 5, in talking about the tzaras on houses, Perek Yudalid Pasuk Lamed Hey, it says, when somebody sees his house with tzarat, Kenega Nire Li Babayis. Very interesting language. I see it appears to me a nega tzaras on the house. Why nira li, it appears to me? Why doesn't it just say kenega nira babayis or kenega babayis? There's a nega on the house. Why does that to say it appears to me that there's a nega on the bayis? So Rabbi Chaim Vital says as follows, very insightful, shat tzaras babe avon lashon hara. Tzaras, why do we have it? One of the reasons is, one of the primary reasons is lashon hara, and that lashon hara, that is mitame, that makes filthy, it makes dirty the nefesh of the person who speaks, and it brings on a nega to his neshama, and it brings on an affliction, a spiritual affliction to the person's neshama. But as oftentimes is the case, the person doesn't necessarily see his own defects. When you simply do something, you speak negatively about a person, you don't think there's anything wrong with it. What did I do? And it doesn't register. But it's only when the person sees the actual negayim, when he sees the actual affliction, the actual tzaras on himself or his house, we're talking about tzaras and houses here, that is only at that point is it going to register with the person, I did something wrong, because he sees tangibly the tzaras, and then it registers with him, I really made a mistake. And accordingly, that's why it says, kenega nired li, but now I see it. It's not only that he sees it, but he makes the connection, I did something wrong. And it's only when you see that external reminder that somebody did something wrong that it registers internally that the person really committed a sin. Moving forward to our last of our Torah, number 6, we are in Kasuk. It's Perek Yudalet. Pasuk Nundala, talking about the purification of the house. Zosa Torah Kol Nega, purification of the house. And something that is very interesting here is that when it comes to the tzaras, if we look in this parsha, it goes in the order of tzaras for a person. The person is afflicted, tzaras on the individual, on his body. And then the psukim talk about the tzaras on clothing. And only then thereafterward does it talk about tzaras on the house. So it goes person, clothing, house. But the problem is, Chazal tell us, Ein Baal, it's a medrash in Rosh Rabbah, Ein Baal Arachamim Pogea B'Nafashos Tchila, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu does not punish people first. Rather, there's going to be a warning. First and only, first and foremost, the tzaras shows up on the house. and only thereafter does it show up on the clothing, and only last does it show up on the person. So that's the reverse of the psukim. The psukim have the order person, clothing, house, getting further away, but truth be told, Chazal tell us that it was in the reversed order, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts the furthest out and then gets closer and closer, as if it's a warning bell. Start on the house, person doesn't listen, get to the clothing, and then person doesn't listen, get to the person himself. So Mari Pinto explains as follows, why are the psukim out of order? It should have been the opposite of what the psukim. The psukim has person, clothing, house, and it should have been the reverse. So he explains as follows, if you think about this chronologically, this is in the Midbar that Klal Yisrael is being told all about Tzaras. And in the Midbar, there was only one option. There was only one option, is that there would be Tzaras on the individual, not on the houses and not on the clothing. Why not? Because in the Midbar, they weren't living in their own homes. They were living in sukkahs. They were living in huts, representing the Ananei HaKavod, representing the clouds of glory. And accordingly, there's not going to be any Tzaras. It's not their houses, the Ananei HaKavod, on the sukkahs they were living in. There would be no Tzaras. And in addition, the clothing that they were wearing, true, it was theirs, but they were through Nisim, that those clothing they never wore out, as the Torah tells us, that they never got outgrown, etc. Those were the clothing. They were miraculous clothing. Accordingly, there was never going to be Negaim on the clothing either. So the only option in the Midbar itself was going to be, if somebody spoke Lashon Hara, was arrogant, etc., would be Negaim, would be an affliction only on the individual himself. And only when they moved into the land of Israel, Klal Yisrael entered the land of Israel, entered the land of Canaan, they still were not in their own homes, but they were using their own clothing, and it was not alpines, they would wear out, etc. So then started the negaim on the clothing, and it was only later, once there was Yerusha and Yeshiva, 14 years after entering the land of Eretz Yisrael, that they conquered and they settled, at that point that they were in their own homes, did the negaim of the houses occur. So accordingly, despite the fact that in concept, it would only be on the house first and then clothing in person, but chronologically, it was the reverse. There was only negaim initially on the people, and only when they got to the land of Israel was it on the clothing, and only when they settled in their own houses in the land of Israel was there negaim on the houses. And in fact, Or HaChaim explains as follows in the introduction to negaim for houses. The Pasuk says, before talking about there going to be an affliction on your houses, it says, Ki tavo el Eretz Canaan, when you enter the land, Asher ani nosen lachem, that I'm going to give you, la'achuza, that you will inherit. It was only at that point. It's explicit in the Pasuk. It's only at that point when they came into the land and la'achuza, that they actually inherited the land and were sitting in their own houses. Only at that point was there negaim on the houses. So, beautiful explanation of the order of the psukim. And the Mirtz Hashem, our bracha should be that we should avoid as much as possible, to the extreme, all of the averas that lead to tzaras, be it arrogance, be it speaking negatively about people, lashon hara, motzi shemra, etc., because this beautiful koach hadibur that we have should only be used in a positive fashion. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.